At the bottom of this page here, I've included a comparison between oogenesis and spermatogenesis in terms of the differences in the cycle time, the gametes produced, and the differentiation pattern. At the bottom of this page, it's not part of today's class, but I thought I should begin to introduce to you some clinical concepts. And the idea here is that to be complete, you should also consider gynecological cancers. These are cancers associated with the reproductive tissues, and they're clinically quite relevant, not part of today's class. If you'd like to look through that information in your own time, you're most welcome to. But it relates to They updated the server, and I do occasionally have this problem. Goodness. Everyone's getting it? Super. There's one other place we can go. And I'll speak to the IT people while I'm on this next break and try and sort this out. Where do I need to go? Back here. It won't even let me back there. Okay. I do apologise for that. They've been upgrading the server and it crashes the browser. I mean the web interface for that thing. So I'm going back to the 2 years ago class that I put together. It should still run, I hope, because it's on a different server.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll fix it up before I get stuck. I'd like to now talk about fertilisation. And what we can see here in this cartoon at the top of this page is the oocyte with a polar body excluded to the periphery. Surrounding this oocyte are the granulosa cells forming the corona radiata. They're adherent to the zona pellucida. And this here is a sperm which has come along, been attracted by chemotactic signals that attract it to it, and it begins to wriggle between these granulosa cells, attempting to bind to the zona pellucida. Now, the zona pellucida is made up of three separate... Does it start up again, or are you just on the same page?
I'm having problems.
Yeah, same problem. Okay. The zona pellucida is made up of three proteins called ZP1, 2, and 3. These are glycoproteins. It's a specialized extracellular matrix. The sperm has receptors on its head which bind to the zona pellucida proteins. ZP2 and 3 are mainly involved with sperm recognition and binding. Species specificity exists between the proteins on the surface of the sperm and the zona pellucida. So it allows fertilisation between the same species, not different species. When the sperm binds to the surface of the zona pellucida, it then opens up the acrosome. It's a vesicle at the head of the nucleus, containing enzymes, and these enzymes break down the glycoproteins of the zona pellucida. So basically, they erode a hole in the zona pellucida. So a single oocyte may have hundreds of sperm bound to it, all of them releasing their acrosomes, trying to drill a hole through the zona pellucida. So it binds, releases its acrosome, begins to degrade a hole. Several hundred may be doing that simultaneously. And then the first sperm which gets through, the winner of the race, the fittest of the population, when it gets through the zona pellucida, its membrane fuses with the oocyte membrane. So the sperm membrane and the oocyte membrane fuse together. This allows passage of the nucleus from the sperm into the oocyte. Remember, the tail is still pushing it inwards. It's still pushing the nucleus out, ejecting the nucleus in, and the nucleus will enter into the oocyte. As soon as the sperm binds to that membrane, the oocyte completes meiosis II. It finishes that process and pushes the polar body to the periphery. It's ready to be fertilized. The nucleus is now haploid. We call it the female pronuclei. The male nuclei from the sperm that's gotten in is called the male pronuclei. Each nucleus is surrounded by a membrane. That nuclear membrane needs to break down, and the two genetic materials need to combine to form the first diploid cell. The zygote is the first diploid cell that's formed. Don't worry about your browsers, I'll pop out and talk to the IT people in a second. When this diploid cell is formed, it then, every single cell division from then on within development will be mitosis. Duplicates its DNA and undergoes cell division. At that time, sex is determined by the sex chromosome that's in the sperm. The oocyte's only got an X. The male sperm, we had two copies of X and two copies of Y. Whichever one got through will result in the sex of our progeny. Now, to prevent those hundreds of other sperm that are bound to the oocyte now fertilizing the egg and giving us tetraploidy or multiple copies of DNA, the egg undergoes a series of changes to prevent that process. Now, if it's fertilized by more than one sperm, that's called polyspermy. And the first block to that is when the fusion event occurs between the sperm membrane and the oocyte membrane. There's a calcium signal through the egg which changes the membrane properties of the oocyte, and that's called the primary block to polyspermy. When the membrane is changed, it's your primary block to polyspermy. After that initial signal, those red circles we can see around the outside of the oocyte in this animation, these are known as cortical granules. These cortical granules are then released, just like the acrosome was released, to the surface of the oocyte. And these granules also contain enzymes which modify the zona pellucida proteins. And when they're modified, they no longer bind sperm, so all the sperm fall away. They can no longer bind to the surface, and therefore they can no longer functionally enter the egg. That's the secondary block to polyspermy. The two nuclei will fuse, and then in this animation here, we can see the oocyte nucleus, much larger than the sperm nucleus. All of the chromosomal material in the sperm has been labelled green. All of the chromosomal material in the maternal genome has been labelled blue. We see combination of the two genetic materials. This is in mouse. So this decompresses. There's the two pronuclei. You can see all of the male chromosomes and the female material. They'll combine together, go through mitosis, and we end up with two cells. Now you can see that both of the nuclei have mixed maternal and paternal chromosomes within them. And there remains a little bit of segregation for the first couple of cycles of mitosis, but they generally mix up. You can also see the presence of the maternal polar body here as well. And then it goes through four and so on. There are two other events I need to talk about fertilisation. The first is capacitation. When they first started doing in vitro fertilization techniques, they had a lot of problems getting fertilization to occur because they were trying to use the freshest possible sperm they could possibly use. And the issue is that the sperm actually need to be activated by being present in the vaginal environment. And that process is called capacitation. It modifies the outside membrane of the sperm and it activates the tail to begin swimming actively. Capacitation is required. That acrosome reaction is the release of the enzymes, and then in turn the egg needs to be activated to do that cortical reaction. In terms of contributions to our zygote, the sperm will contribute, of course, its nuclear material. It contributes also a centriole for organising the microtubules. The sperm mitochondria may well get into the egg, but in humans, all of the male mitochondria are degraded within the zygote. And so all of the male mitochondria are lost. And that means that everybody in this room has only their mother's mitochondria within them. And this is important for understanding inheritance of genetic abnormalities associated with mitochondria. There are mitochondrial defects. And all of the mitochondrial defects will be inherited through the maternal lineage, not through the paternal lineage in humans, because none of the sperm mitochondria contribute to the zygote. This differs between other species, and there are different mechanisms of fertilization as well. The mechanisms I've described today are specific for the human fertilization process. Have a look through the process of fertilization. See if you can find that previous page. I'm going to go and speak to IT to see if I can get them to reboot that server for you.